They went down out of the cupola. Reynolds mounted a beautiful black horse. Buford came out into the open, saw his staff tidying itself up, combing hair, buttoning buttons. Shells were falling on the ridge nearby, and bullets were slicing leaves, but Reynolds sat astride the horse in a motionless calm, looking out toward the fight. Picture of a soldier, painted against the trees. Reynolds called in one of his officers. He said slowly, somewhat delicately, pronouncing each word in turn, evenly, machine-like, "Captain, I want you to ride as fast as you can to General Meade. Tell him the enemy is advancing in strong force and that I am afraid they will get the heights beyond the town before I can. We will fight them here inch by inch through the town if necessary, barricading the streets. We will delay them as long as possible. I am sending messages to all my commanders to come to this place with all possible speed. Repeat that." The captain did and was gone. Reynolds sent messages to other commanders, Doubleday, Sickles. Then he said to Buford, "I think I'll move over and hurry the boys along." "Obliged," Buford said. "Not at all." He wheeled the horse gracefully, still something of that elegant quality of display in the fluid motion, and rode off. In the direction he took, Buford heard music. A blue band was playing. Buford issued his own orders. The great weight was off him. Now it belonged to Reynolds. And there was no regret. Through most of his life, he had resented the appearance of higher command. Now it came to save him. A new thing. He did not mind at all. Must be the age. "Well, you have gone to the limit, lad. You have reached your own personal end." Tom Devon was up. He was annoyed to be pulled out. Buford looked at him, shook his head. In a moment, Reynolds was back, leading blue troops at double time through the fields, tearing down rail fences as they came. Buford's heart was stirred. The Black Hats, Simon Cutler's Iron Brigade, best troops in the Union Army. An omen. They began to move out onto the road by the seminary, regiment after regiment, moving with veteran gloom, veteran silence. Steady men, not many boys. One man was eating cherries hurriedly from a mess tin. Another had a banjo on his back, which was bothering him. And he swung it around to cover his front and banged the man in front of him, who complained to peculiar laughter. One man asked one of Buford's aides loudly, "Which way was the war?" and offered to go the other way. And an officer turned and began sending them into line along the crest Gamble had held. Then Reynolds was back. The rebel shells were beginning to pass overhead. They had seen new troops coming, and some of the fire was falling now on Gettysburg. Reynolds summoned another aide. "Lieutenant, get on into town and tell these people to stay in off the streets. There's liable to be a fair-sized dispute here today. And give anyone you meet my compliments, along with my suggestion that every person stay indoors, in cellars, if possible, and out of harm's way, especially children." He peered at the aide. "Joe, how do you see with those things on?" The aide wore glasses that were very muddy. He took them and tried to clean them and smeared them with jittery fingers. A shell hit a treetop across the road, and splinters flickered through the grove and spattered against the brick wall. Reynolds said pleasantly, "Gentlemen, let's place the troops."